Samuel, chapter number 13. 2 Samuel, chapter number 13. I believe that's all the announcements I had to make this morning. I want to do things a little different today. I always do the same thing, read, pray, read, start. But I'm a creature of habit. I like that. But before we even read any scripture this morning, I'd like for us just to go to the Lord in prayer. And then we'll read our scripture. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for letting us be here today. I want to thank you for your blessings. I want to thank you for your mercy. And dear Lord, I want to thank you for every person that's in the congregation today. I pray and I ask, Lord, that you would take your word and use it to speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would help us. I pray, Lord, that you would accomplish through your word and the power of your Holy Spirit just exactly what you'd like to accomplish today. I want to thank you for your blessings. I want to thank you, Lord, for the hedge of protection that you put around us in our lives, and many times we don't even recognize or see it. But God, we know you're there. Lord, we know you're in control. Lord, we know you're able to do all things. Lord, I pray for your help today. I pray, Lord, for great liberty and that nothing would hinder the preaching of the Word of God. And I pray that you'd give us open ears and hearts. And I just ask, Lord, for you to be glorified in all that's said and done. I pray you'd help us now. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. I'm going to begin reading in 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse number 1. Before I read, though, I want to sort of tell you, I have preached this message, as far as I know, 3 times. I only remember preaching it 1 time, and the only reason I know that I preached it 3 times is because I wrote it down. And I preached it once at Forest Grove several years ago. I don't even know how long ago that's been, probably 18, 20 years ago. And I preached it once when I was in Idaho at the Faith Baptist Church, and then I preached it 1 time here in the year 2006, and I've got a box full of messages. I've actually got 3 boxes full of messages that I've preached, and when I preach them, I put them up, and a lot of times I don't even think about them again. But the other night, Friday night at 3:15 in the morning, the Lord woke me up. And he said, preach that message. I don't normally read this many verses, but I'm going to read 20 verses. I want you to pay attention to what it's saying. And I especially want our young people to pay attention to the message this morning. The Bible said in verse 1, and it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother, Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, "Go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat." So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it, and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him. But he refused to eat, and Amnon said, "Have out all men from me." And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, "Bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand." And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, "Come, lie with me, my sister." And she answered him, "Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? As for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not hold me from thee. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, "Arise, be gone." And she said unto him, "There's no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me." But he would not hearken unto her. Then he called his servants that ministered unto him and said, "Put now this woman out from me, and bolt the door after her." And she had a garment of divers colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of divers colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, "Hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? Behold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing." So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. And I know that's a lot of reading this morning. I think sometimes it's necessary that we read what the Word of God says, and it's even better if we go home and read it again, because there's a lot in this passage of Scripture that I'm not going to be able to deal with this morning. But what we have in 2 Samuel chapter number 13, and I'll say today that 13 in the Bible is a ominous number. It's a bad number. Hear people talk about 13, bad luck and all that. Well, I believe that came from the Word of God, because there are so many places in the Bible where you find the number or the chapter 13 and there's something evil that is going on. And I'm not going to take time today to point out different examples, but in your Bible study you can find that out. And here in 2 Samuel chapter 13, there's something evil that is going on. We find here there are three of David's children. And then we have David's brother's child, which was the first cousin to Amnon here. We read about Jonadab as well. So we find a family. And we find within this family that, just like a lot of families, there's a lot of problems in the family. We find in this family that there are things in this chapter, and there's some things I'm not going to go into great detail, because really it's an adult subject. It's a serious passage of Scripture. There's lust. There's incest within a family. There's a boy that raped his own sister. She's a victim. There's a murder. There's a murder victim. It's a tragedy. You know, people like to read these stories and go to these movies, and sometimes they want to watch a movie, and I don't understand why people want to watch movies that are full of tragedy and sadness. There's enough in the world. If you like to sit around and cry, just look at what's going on around you. There's plenty to cry about. There's plenty to be sad about, and this is a tragic, sad, horrible thing in 2 Samuel chapter number 13. And I'm just going to try to point out some things this morning, but if I was given a title to the message, I would go to verse number 3, where the Bible said, "But Amnon had a friend." But Amnon had a friend. And I would say it like this: Amnon thought He had a friend. Amnon thought he had a friend. First of all, I want to point out today, there is the double character of Amnon. Now, verse number one, we're introduced to Amnon. The Bible said it came to pass after this, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Now, we're not talking about children here. We're not talking about teenagers here. Tamar probably was a teenager, but Amnon and Jonadab are grown men. Amnon is living in his own house. He's a grown man. He ought to know better. His name means this. His name means faithful. You'll find in the Bible that when God gives somebody a name, it's for a reason. And their name many times is characteristic of things in their life. When I read here about Amnon, I see that he is the son of David. His name means faithful. He's been brought up in David's house. David, although he's got problems of his own, he's not perfect. He's sinned, he's messed up, he's repented, but he's going to pay for his sins through his family. And we find here that Amnon is David's son. Amnon, his name means faithful. I can think about many things. He's probably a faithful son. He's probably faithful in worship in the house of God. He's probably faithful in his service, in his responsibilities. His name means faithful. He's the son of David. What a great father. What a great example David is. David is a man after God's own heart. David is the sweet psalmist of Israel. David knows what it is to worship God. David knows what it is to walk with God. David knows what it is to be in communion with the Lord and get a message from God and write it down and give to the people. And David is the king of all Israel. You've heard sometimes people get labeled, they're a preacher's kid. I'm going to tell you, one of my kids doesn't like that. Well, they're a preacher's kid. Why are the preacher's kids act so bad? Because they hang around with the deacon's kids. You ever heard about that? But old Amnon here, he's a king's kid. Well, you talk about pressure in somebody's life. If your dad was David, if your dad was a great man of God and a great leader and a great warrior and all of these things, and Amnon is David's own son. The Bible says in verse number 2, it said that Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And look what the Bible says. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Amnon in the beginning had a conscience. Amnon in the beginning had some Bible convictions about him. And although he's got these messed up thoughts going through his mind, he still, the Bible says, thought it hard to do anything to his own sister. He knew that it was wrong, and no doubt the reason he knew that it was wrong is because that's what the Bible says. There was, the children of Israel were to conduct themselves differently than the heathen nations that they were surrounded by. And to the Hebrews, family was a sacred, protected thing. And the Word of God put a prohibition against Amnon taking his own sister. The Bible said in Leviticus chapter number 18 and verse 6, none of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Verse 11, the Bible said, the nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. And in David's family, I'm telling you, David had his problems. David had multiple wives. There was Amnon by one wife. There was Absalom and Tamar by another wife. So they were not full brother and sister. They were half brother and sister. And the Word of God put a prohibition against these family relationships, they were unlawful under the law of God. And I believe that Amnon knew that. That's why the Bible said Amnon thought it hard to do anything to her. The Bible said, and although Amnon had one side, Amnon is a complicated individual. On one side, Amnon, he's a pretty good fella. But on the other side, Amnon, he's got a double character. On one side, he's got a dark side. On one side, there's things going through his heart and through his mind that are absolutely forbidden in the Word of God. Amnon thought it hard to do anything to her. Verse number one, the Bible said, came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. This was incest. This was forbidden in the Word of God that he would love his half-sister. Amnon entertained thoughts that he shouldn't have been entertaining in his mind. The Bible says in verse number 2, and Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. The word vexed there, it means this. It means to be narrow in thought. It means to be in distress. Amnon got to the place in his life where all he could think about was his sister Tamar. He became infatuated with her, and he got to the place where he made himself sick because of his sister. That's sick in and of its own self. But he vexed himself. He allowed his mind to go places that it should not go. And this forbidden lust in Amnon's life just completely began to consume him. And James 1:14 said, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin and lust and action will always end badly. And it's going to end badly for Amnon before it's over. But old Amnon, he has a double character. He's able to put on a good act. And around one crowd, he acts one way. And around another crowd, he acts another way. Let me say this morning, the things of God and life are serious matters. Life's not a game. You play with some things and you will get burned. There is no doubt about it whatsoever. You play with fire, you're going to get burned. You walk on a fence, you're going to fall off. And I'm telling you, you fall off on the wrong side every time. There's some things you cannot just play around and get by with, and there be no circumstances whatsoever. You cannot serve two masters. But Amnon is exactly that type of person. He has a double character. The Bible said in verse number 3, I'll show you something else. There's the devilish conversation of Jonadab. Now, Jonadab is Amnon's first cousin. You parents had better be very careful who you allow your children to be around and to become friends with. Because I promise you, the devil has got somebody out there that he can put in their pathway to ruin and wreck and destroy their lives. Say, preacher, we're real careful about that. We're careful about where our children go and spend the night. We're careful about who their friends are. We're careful about who they are around. But you know, sometimes the devil will put somebody in your own family. And if there's somewhere that you let your guard down sometimes, it's among your own flesh and blood. And here's two first cousins. And one of them's going to wreck and ruin the other one's life. We find the devilish conversation of Jonadab. Verse 3, the Bible said, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shemaiah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Do you know the name Jonadab? It's interesting. The name Jonadab means this. It means Jehovah willing, it'll be. You know, there's a lot of times people will come along in your life and they don't know Genesis from Revelation, but all of a sudden they become a Bible expert and they think they know what God's will is. Here comes old Jonadab. Well, Amnon, what's making you sick? What's wrong with you? I can just hear him talking to him. Well, I just believe it'd be the Lord's will. Why should you make yourself sick? Why should you vex yourself over? And oh, he had such a subtle plan, the Bible says. I want to say, and I've said this many times down through the years, you are now, or you soon shall be, who your friends now are. I've said that a lot of times, but the first time I ever said it was years ago, preaching this message. And I wrote it down right there. And I heard another preacher say it. You are now, or you soon shall be, what your friends now are. Who you hang around is who you're going to be like. What they're doing, you say, I'm not doing it now. You young people, you listen to me this morning. The pressure is put on our young people, not when they're 16 years old, not when they're 12 years old, but I'm telling you, from the first day they step in school and before that, buddy, the pressure is put on them to be like, to act like, to do like, to talk like, to go here, to do this. Some of you's got real young children. They've already asked you, when do I get a cell phone? It won't be like everybody else. It's a dangerous world that we're living in. It's a serious time that we're living in where we have to guard. I'm telling you, our 3 and 4 and 5 year old children and who they're around, and who they're around is who they're going to end up being like. Jonadab, just a few things about him. He was sneaky. He was vile. To formulate this plan and put this plan into action and to put it into Amnon's head, how this could all work out, that he could have something that was forbidden. He was perverted. He was wicked. He was a liar. He was a deceptive. And I want to tell you, Amnon in the beginning was not like that, but by the end, he ended up exactly like that. He went right along with Jonadab's plan. Amnon became just like him. Of course, he had it in his mind. And Jonadab came along and helped him out. Boy, I tell you, if I had any doubt about what I was supposed to preach this morning, the Sunday school lesson went right along with it. Ahab would have never done what he done without Jezebel coming along and orchestrating the plan. You are now, you soon shall be what your friends now are. If they cuss, you're going to cuss. If they drink, you're going to drink. If they talk about their parents bad, you're going to talk about yours bad. I mean, there's no way around that. And I know how the devil is. The devil comes along and he says, no, you won't do that. The devil comes along and makes you think because you go to church or your parents take you to church and you hear some preaching that you'll know better. And I've been there. I've been down that road. Oh, I would never do that. My friends are doing these things, but that's pride. You know what the Bible says about pride? Pride cometh before a what? A fall. Oh, I'd never do what they're doing. I'd never talk like they're doing. I'd never drink. I'd never smoke. I'd never take God's name in vain. I'd never. You hang around it, it gets all over you. The music you listen to, the programs you watch, the games you play, I'm telling you, all that stuff gets in your mind. It gets in your heart. Before long, you end up doing what you thought you'd never, ever do. That's not an excuse to blame your sin upon somebody else. But I'll tell you this morning, if you don't hang out with the wrong crowd, you'll never end up in the wrong crowd. If you never take a first drink, you'll never take a second drink. The devilish conversation of Jonadab. Hey, he had a real good plan, didn't he? Well, we read the scripture down through there, but we're going to skip down to verse number 13. There is the desperate cry of Tamar. Jonadab said, make yourself sick. Tell the king to send your sister down here. He'll do it. But in verse number 13, the Bible said, and after he had forced her, took an advantage of her, she said, nigh, whither shall I cause my shame to go? No, this is before he done it. This is before he done it. She said, and I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. There's the desperate cry of Tamar. She tried to prevent Amnon from committing this horrible sin. And she said, one of her arguments was, she said, you'll be as one of the fools in Israel. The word fool in the Bible, right here, you know what it means? It means stupid. Now, we don't use that in our house. We've got a 7-year-old and we try not to walk around talking that way all the time. You say there's nothing wrong with it, but listen to it coming out of the lips of a 5-year-old. Walking around calling things and people stupid. But Tamar said, you'll be stupid. You'll be a fool. You'll be wicked if you do this. Everybody will say about you, Amnon's stupid. Amnon's wicked. Amnon's a fool. She is trying her best and begging him not to do this thing. You know, God is very merciful. God always gives ample warning before we mess up. Not just a little bit, but God, He gives ample warning. He gives plenty of warning. That is the mercy of God. And I'll tell you, it is a mark of wisdom when we can learn to hear when God is trying to warn us. God give us the Bible. We say, oh, I wish I knew what to do. There's all you can handle. You read 15, 20 minutes, it'll take you a year. You'll get all the instruction. You'll get all of God's will that you can handle. He's given us His Bible to warn us. He's given us the preaching of the Word of God. I take what I'm doing today as the most serious thing in the whole wide world. The Bible says, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine and preaching many times. I'm telling you, I've went to church and the preaching of the Word of God has spoke to my heart. I've said, that's me, that's me. That applies to me. That's God speaking to you. I'm not saying I'm God. I'm saying God speaks to us through the preaching of His Word. He designed it that way. He gave us teachers. He gave us parents. Do you know why the Bible says honor your father and your mother? You know what that means? It means to pay attention to them, to respect them, to listen to what they have to say. Don't get in your head the idea, mom and dad don't know anything. They've already been where you are. They've already made all kinds of dumb mistakes. They've embarrassed themselves. They have hindered themselves. They've scarred themselves. They've handicapped themselves because of dumb things they've done. And when they say, don't do that, they're just not trying to kill your fun. They're trying to save you from heartache and pain. They're trying to keep you from making the same mistakes that they made and their grandparents made and their parents made. And I'm telling you, this gray hair on our heads, it's there for a reason. And you may not believe it, but we know a thing or two. God gave you parents to help you. To help you. Now, Tamar, I notice this. Tamar said, go ask Daddy. If it's so right, go ask King David. That was her daddy and his daddy. And she said, just go ask the king. If it was that simple, why didn't he go and ask? Because a lot of things that young people have already made up their mind that they're going to do, they know if they go ask the answer they're going to get. He didn't go ask. She said, if you'll just go ask. If you can't go ask, you don't need to be doing it. Just go ask the king. He'll not withhold me. She's trying to save herself from a terrible situation. There's the desperate cry of Tamar. She says, don't be a fool. Don't do what the crowd does. Just because the crowd's going along, young people, just because the crowd's going along doing something doesn't mean you need to go along and do it. There's a lot of pressure just to be like everybody else. Just be your own person. Just do what's right by the Word of God. That your friends may forsake you because you don't do what they do and talk like they do and go where they do, but if they forsake you, they're not real friends. You do the right thing. There's a desperate cry tomorrow. Then, last of all, there's the destructive consequences of sin. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you notice here in verse number 3, the Bible says that Jonadab was a very subtle man. Does that word ring a bell to you that are Bible readers this morning? You know, the first time you find the word subtle in the Bible is Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1, where the Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Jonadab here is a type of the devil. Jonadab is the devil. He is only mentioned one time right here in all the Bible. I thought to myself, wonder whatever happened to Jonadab. The Bible doesn't say. He's just like a serpent. He slinks in, slinks out. Wonder what happened. He went under a hole somewhere while this whole family stood by, heartbroken and weeping and crying their eyes out. That's how the Jonadabs of this world are. And that's why I say every snake you find, you ought to chop its head off. Just in memorial of the first serpent that ever entered the world. Oh, he was more serpent. He was a subtle man. And Satan was more subtle. The word subtle, it means this, to be intelligent, to be skillful, to be artful. But it means here, it means in a bad sense, cunning, evil, wicked. That's what Jonadab was. There is a whole host of people in the world. They need to be saved by the grace of God. They need to be introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ because they're wicked. And they are. There is evil in the world. And there are people that are totally, fully committed to doing all the bad that they can. And that's the kind of person that Jonadab was. There's the consequences of sin. Jonadab's crowd always leaves out the consequences. All them beer commercials and them whiskey commercials, they look so entertaining and so inviting. And boy, if you'll just do that and drink a certain brand, you'll be on the beach and you'll be surrounded by always good-looking people. They never go down by the side of the road and pull a little baby out of a car. They've not been down to the jailhouses and the prisons and the rehab places where lives are wrecked and ruined and burned all to pieces. Never see that in a commercial. The consequences. The consequences I'm talking about. Tamar suffered greatly. Look in verse 20. I'll wind up. The Bible said, and Absalom, her brother, said unto her, hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. She was so scarred. She was so hurt. She was so ruined and wrecked by what he done unto her that she never, ever had children. She never got married. She remained in her brother's house. Probably stayed in her room most of the time. Was ashamed to come out in public. It ruined her. It ruined her. We're talking about lives. We're talking about people here. Talking about somebody being scarred in their mind and in their body and in their heart for the rest of the days of her life. Sin has awful consequences. She suffered greatly. Number two, Absalom hated Amnon. Verse number 22. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon. Because he had forced his sister Tamar. For 2 years, Absalom was filled with such hate towards Amnon that he couldn't even speak to his own brother. Don't tell me sin doesn't affect anybody. Sin affects everybody. And here's a family that ought to be praising, worshiping God together. Now they can't even talk to each other. Now one of them hates the other one so bad that he can't even speak to him. He had revenge in his mind. It not only ruined Tamar, it not only ruined Amnon, but you know, Absalom ended up a pretty bad fella too. Wonder if that was the seed right there. He got hatred planted in his heart. And he planned and he thought of revenge and what he could do. And he laid down on his bed at night for 2 years. And when he seen Absalom go down the street, it gave him an ulcer in his stomach. And it made hatred well up in his heart. Hatred's an awful thing. But what if that was your sister? He had a right to be mad. Amnon was eventually murdered. The Bible said in verse number 28, now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine. When I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not. Have not I commanded you, be courageous and be valiant. And Absalom had a little plan to have a get together at his house. He said, when Amnon gets down here and when I tell you, you fellas kill him. That's what happened. Verse 29, and the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose and every man got him upon his mule and fled. What do you think would happen? Here they're having a big party and one group rises up and just kills him. Can't you just imagine old Amnon laying there on the floor and the last blood flowing out of his body? Don't you think he thought to himself, my good old buddy Jonadab, I wish he is here to hold my hand. You ever notice Jonadab's never around when things turn bad? Oh, there, Jonadab's already there. He's always there to put a bad thought in your mind. He's always there to get you hooked on something. But he's never a friend when it comes right down to it. And he's laying there dying a violent, horrible death. I'd say there's no love for Jonadab right there. You better watch out for the Jonadabs in your life. And then we come down to the news. I mean, I can see it all taking place in my mind. A man's been murdered. Everybody jumps up, gets on their mule, spins out of the parking lot, goes in their separate directions. They don't want to be around when the cops show up. The news gets back to David's house. Verse number 36. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very sore. The news got back to David's house, what had happened. And all the family's heartbroken. All the brothers, all the sisters, all the mamas crying. Buddy, it's too late now to do anything. The sin of one person does affect other persons. I'm sure that as the news got out into the community and into the kingdom, you know, they didn't have newspapers, but people's always been able to talk. What happened? What happened? Well, Absalom had a get-together at his house with all his brothers, and they killed Amnon. Killed Amnon, killed his own brother. Why? Why? Well, you know, Amnon, he raped Tamar. That's Absalom's sister. Man, I didn't know Amnon was like that. I always thought Amnon was a pretty good fella. That's what's heartbreaking about the whole thing. Is that Amnon had some potential because he did have a conscience. And although he entertained wrong, he never acted upon it till Jonadab come along. And I can just hear him now. Man, I didn't know Amnon. Man, that's messed up. Served him right. Would anybody say that? He shouldn't have done that. It's no wonder. Can you hear him talking on the street? Well, I wouldn't have waited 2 years. I'd have went down there and took care of that. But all this junk has gone on in this family all these years. And now somebody's dead. And now everybody's heart's broke. You young people better really think. These friends come into your life and what they tell you and put in your mind and put in your heart. You ought to stop and ask yourself, is that really coming from God? You're going to be introduced to a lot of things in this life that are not from the Lord. And when Jonadab comes along in your life, you need to take a hoe and chop his head off. You need to get rid of him. God has not called you to be friends with everybody in the whole wide world if it is going to destroy you. And if these friends that pressure you in a wrong way, you don't need to have them as friends. Amnon thought he had a friend. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. A companion of stupidness, a companion of wickedness, the Word of God says, be destroyed. That means, well, you surely know what that means. A lot of people in this life will want to be your friend. But I'll tell you in closing today, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to be your very best friend. Proverbs 18:24 says, if a man would have friends, he must show himself friendly. And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He died upon the cross so that he could be your friend. And save you and love you and lead you and guide you and direct you. And if you've got the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got all you need in this life. A lot of people don't need all that they think they need when it comes to the friend category. The Lord Jesus is honest. He'll tell you the truth. He'll never lead you wrong. You'll never get down the road and say, boy, I regret listening to the Lord. And I'm glad I've heard His voice, read His Word, heard the preaching of the Word of God, repented when God convicted me of my sin. Thank the Lord for that. He's never led me wrong. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and I'm going to ask the ladies to come.